connected consumer.
Welcome to our second episode with Chris, where we'll talk more on the role technology plays in managing FTD and how it's helping him make a difference. Make sure to go back to the first episode to hear more about Chris's full story. I want to ask, you know, you are a technologist, a technology guy. I mean, I've known you, I think, my entire career at Parks Associates. You worked with my mom and many members of our research team over the years in developing new products and being on stage and talking about them. Can you tell a little bit about your current use of technology and, you know, how this might be helping you navigate some of your different lifestyle changes or your communication?
We all have seen the commercial. Well, I've fell down and stuff like that. That is very real for me, by the way. The security business and their they need to be the ones to make these devices and get them where you need them. So,
yeah, I was going to say, you know, our research shows that about 14 million internet households are currently using some kind of independent living solution. And we count about 5.5 million households using the PERS device, which is the kind of the I've fallen and can't get up type of monitoring. Yeah. And we also, you know, our research shows that the desire for understanding the fall detection, you know, that's the highest feature set that the DIY caregiving packages that people are interested in for that category. There's also the fire and smoke detectors, and those two are the top things. And I know that, you know, with people who have dementia, there's this risk of doing something and then, you know, going off and doing something else. And so that fire detection is a big deal, right? If somebody happens to start the stove and leaves it on and things are burning and then you have a fire, there could be a real problem with that. And of course that fall detection, of course, somebody could get, you know, could be really injured if they fall. And if it's very,
and they're typically the falls can be much worse than a bump on the head. It gets into that as you get older but it's really something that I think I argued for that so many times back in Best Buy, but it was something that I thought was needed. But those devices are there, but we need to make them better.
One of the things with technology in the healthcare market in general is, you know, who's paying, right? Who's paying for this stuff? And a lot of the devices areas that we cover at Parks Associates are consumer devices, but we also have medical grade devices that we're covering. And it's an interesting dynamic there with these types of wearables, especially. But there is this big issue of who's going to pay and getting insurance companies on board to see the value in the devices that can tell them all this different information that they could never know before was even available. I mean, some of these things, and with a blood pressure or figuring out your blood glucose levels, you know, these are all because of technology and that ability to share and send data. So what's your view on the healthcare professionals and technology as it relates, you know, specifically to this condition that you have?
I think I love the idea of wearables. What they're making right now is more sport, you know, foremost.
Yeah, right. It's more on the fitness, like your calories or your steps. It's less focused necessarily on some of that.
I like that, but they still got a lot of refining to do.
Well, yeah, and it's a new there's a new generation of younger people who are attaching these devices to them when they're younger, whether it's a watch or some other kind of wearable. And then there will be, I was actually talking to a Comcast guy about this, and he was saying, you know, there's this stigma around some of these devices once you get older, like you're older and so you need to have this device. But now it's becoming very commonplace for anybody, whether you're healthy or not, or have some condition you need to monitor, to have the device. And that this is going to play a big role as the generations grow up. It won't be, you won't have a stigma to have a watch on or some other wearable, you know. Do you have any views on that?
Yeah, I do like it. I've always liked it where the 55 people, they made it. They're ready to go get on a golf course and all that. But the devices that they're putting in their homes are sometimes much more safety. The way that they're putting in lighting is also changing as well, and it's really interesting. And then you got the ones that we all know, the Ring, the door lock, the garage lock, the Amazon deliveries and everything like that. So I'd hope it keeps going that way, but we got to get it. I think I'm not an economist, but I think we probably could be doing better things.
Well, there, I know there's been a lot of developments. I mean, at CES, we noted the announcement with Kwikset and a company called Fallcall, where they have a PERS-like device that when you push, there's an integration with the door lock so that the emergency people coming in to respond don't break the door down, right? They can get in because it's been automatically unlocked because that button was pushed. And so
something like that should be automatic for the insurance people. That is an automatic to keeping somebody alive in a way that is true to its life. So it's going to call the police. It's going to do these things and stuff like that. I do like that a lot. Maybe I'll have to go get one. So,
the guy who, the Fallcall guy, he's actually, he's an amazing guy. He's a doctor and he's a surgeon. And his side job was this project with the Fallcall business. But his primary job is a doctor. And he felt that need to really help people. And of course, the falling down can lead to all sorts of other things. You know, your hip, you can hit your head, you know, there's certainly a lot there. And so a lot of innovation that we're seeing where technology and access control can really play a big role. Like you noted, the lighting. I mean, that's something like, you know, getting up in the middle of the night and having a light turn on is a big deal.
It's a blinder.
If you're confused and having the right type of light. I mean, there's so much information with context that can be provided, even understanding if somebody opened a refrigerator door, right? Because that would mean they got some milk in the morning, they got something in the morning, they're awake and they got food. This is all new context that family caregivers and or healthcare, depending on the details of the data, can have to help assess the situation. So, you know, we continue to study the health and wellness markets, and in particular, the independent living, because it is a safety and security issue with a very large population that will continue to grow and really be a necessity given the shortage of housing that's going to happen and people not being able to afford some kind of special types of housing. So maybe just end with some of the things that you might suggest people do to get involved, to help bring visibility and awareness, or let's say they maybe have a loved one that they think might
how to
go about some of these conversations perhaps.
So if you have certain symptoms, do not push it away. I was feeling so kind of sorry for myself, but it was real and it was angry. And I was really angry and angry at my wife and angry about what's going on. And I can't get back into the workforce because I felt like, hey, I can do this and I can still go do it, but I couldn't. So I'm trying to understand all of that because my times were short. So, hey, I had my PET scan in less than a month, a year, and everybody else was waiting for three. And it keeps progressing that way. You need to, I'm going to talk about food in it for a couple of months, because if you have the right food, they say this is what my surgeon told me, Chris, you love working out. It's great. Not a lot of people do that, but they won't. You need to keep working out every day. If you can do something, get up, walk, do anything. So a couple of my friends, we go together in the morning. Then I come back and I read the book, not listen to it, read it and work that out. And then I have like bass time. Bass time is my guitar and me, play bass in my church. So, and I don't know if it's a bad to do that, or I'm clonking along on it, but I do that too. And stop. This is the kill. Stop alcohol. I'm sorry. If you have FTD, you don't want to do that. So you can take a hiatus for it. I would say that's an option, but I also do a lot of non-alcohol beer. And so that was, I'm happy about that. That was, but when I came out seriously with my purpose, I've been able to get 359 people, nurses, understand what FTD is. I've been writing all these stories about what I'm going to do and how am I going to do it. And most of it's for the people in the FTD site, because I think in many cases, I'm a breath of fresh air, because I know that I have the disease and I understand everything about it that is pretty good. But you have to climb into something that I wanted to make sure I say, okay, this is the one. One, everybody who has FTD, they're alone. They are aware of the lone of being alone, and how do I know when anything happens? I don't know, because it cannot be predicted and stuff like that, but. Here's what happened for me. Deep contemplation about death and living, to understand the death and the living, because you can read about it. And for me, the book that I have, it's here, living here, there, yin yang. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to do as a man. this is what you need to do as a woman. How do you do that in after you've gone through this agony about what it is? And then humility, coming to terms with my mortality. And I'm not like a ghoulish. I'm just saying that you have to want to have the life, not that you had before. It could be, but a life that is really good because you and your partner are working together. Because if they're taking care of you, you're in the pool with them. You have to be there. And then the only thing I think right now is that for me, I was thinking about it when we were talking about it. But it is the only thing I really have is nowness. Every day, what's going to happen? How will it happen? And what am I going to do about it? And then what am I going to try to do for other people? So I also believe that this purpose is my second chance. But that's what it really is. And it's actually very comfortable for me to have one day at a time and getting things done on the same.
Yeah, I mean, you are certainly bringing an amazing perspective as I sit here listening to you of the present moment, of the no fear mentality, and certainly of living life to its fullest, along with, you know, just doing your best to bring awareness and a better understanding of what the person who is dealing with this kind of condition is going through, as well as some of that perspective from the caretaker side. You know, there's it's very inspiring and humbling to listen to you. So
well here it shouldn't be humbling, and this is life, and the way you want to have your life can stay there at the same time as you can move it. But just try to love your caregiver, be it just somebody that comes to see you or not, because these people are so sweet and so helpful and trying to do so many things. And there could be some others, but it's a different kind of world when it's dementia. So, and there's a ton of us in this whole bath now. So you might as well come out if you're going to be able to do that and go places still. I wish I could drive. I love to drive. I have a motorcycle. I love to drive, and I can't do it anymore. So it's the memories are good enough, I think.
Yeah. Well, Chris, I so appreciate you taking the time today to talk with me. Is there anything else that you'd like to share as your last words on our series today?
Yes, I'm going to say this too. Whatever you have done with your whatever we have done with our lives makes us what we are when we die. And everything, absolutely everything counts. You want to know about where that came from? It's Tibet. It's the Dalai Lama.
Okay.
It's a quote. It's an older thing, but I've been reading that book, and I am devoutly Christian. But this helped me move into a different life.
Yeah,
and then And that's awesome. There's more.
Well, I know that this is going to touch people and have a long-lasting impact. And I think you're really courageous. We're very proud of you. You've been a great friend and colleague to me and Parks Associates. And so we definitely honor you and want to help out however we can.
You were my go-to team in research. You can't believe how many people I would say no to. but you and your team were always on point. It was great. And you gave me all kinds of, you probably, I just loved coming to your conferences and CES. And I only got 19 of CES, so, but I wouldn't go there now. But
yeah. Well, your feet aren't missing anything. I can guarantee you that. So, well, Chris, I think that's going to wrap it up for us. I'm so happy we had this conversation. We'll look forward to seeing you in person. And thank you again for sharing your story with us on FTD, its impact, and how we are working to bring additional visibility to this condition that hits many people.
Yeah, it's easier than you think.